along with what we're studying in Proverbs. And wisdom comes from the Lord. Our God is the most wise God. So we're in Proverbs chapter 2. And let's pray and then we'll begin. Father in heaven, we pray that you would impress upon us in our own hearts the necessity of seeking after you with all of our heart, with all of our soul. You have promised us over and over in your word. It's your counsel to us to seek you, to seek wisdom, to seek understanding. And we believe that you are the source of perfect wisdom and perfect understanding, perfect knowledge revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, may we have a hunger that you would put in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you read the Proverbs, I think you can't help but imagine a father counseling his son, because that's what's happening. But you can imagine that. You can probably put yourself in both positions. The father that's counseling his son and the son receiving counseling from his father. And you notice in the Proverbs, you can't read the Proverbs thinking this father is trying to pass this word on to his son in a panicked fashion. He's not in a hurry. He's not acting like he's on his deathbed and I've got to pound this stuff into my son just before I die. That's not how it is. It's slow and it's methodical. It takes time. This is a long book. It's a compilation of Proverbs, but it's intended for us to see it's something that it takes time. As the Bible tells us, it's in this slowness and methodical nature, it's how God teaches us. It's how we learn. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10, for instance, that God is chastising the people because, you know, they kind of don't like the line of the precept upon precept. It says it like this: precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And so it's little bit, it's slow, and that's how you have to look at the Proverbs. It's truth that's taught over and over and over with the intention of truth being caught. You teach it, and you teach it again. You teach it one more time, and you'll go over it over and over and over. And that's how Proverbs has to be understood. We have to read it the same way. Truth taught over and over with the intention of truth being caught. You have to be intentional in it. You have to be purposeful in your teaching. You have to set aside time in order for the truth to be digested and to be infused into your very being. It just doesn't happen. It's something that takes time. And I hope it inspires you as a parent. If you're a mother or father, I hope it inspires you. If you're a grandma or grandpa, I hope it inspires you. If you're an aunt or an uncle or a cousin that's older or an older person in its congregation, I hope that it inspires you to think, I don't have to teach everything I know in one day. But it does take time, and you have to be purposeful in the taking of that time. Now, teaching Proverbs requires patience. You have to be patient. Patience as the teacher, and also patience as the student. You have to be patient, because how many times have you read through Proverbs or you read a verse or two in Proverbs and you say, I think I know what that means, but I think there's something more here than what meets the eye. It takes careful study and it takes time. That's how studying the Bible is anyway. It takes careful study. It takes patience. As a teacher, you teach a lesson the first time, one time, and everybody just, I get it. My life has changed forever and ever and ever. If it was that way, we would all probably hear one message or one lesson, and then we would go home, and we would never come back again. But we come back week after week after week, for instance, to hear a message, because we know that I need to get something a little bit more. It takes time. It takes patience. Training for wisdom and discipline takes time, and that's exactly the whole purpose behind Proverbs, is to train in wisdom and discipline, and know that it will take a lifetime. The title of the series is Truth for Life, and Proverbs is truth for life, for young and for old, for everyone. So if you'll accept it, Proverbs is God's counsel. We read it as Solomon's teaching his sons But you have to understand, this is God's counsel to you. God has a word for you. Right here in the Proverbs, God is counseling, God is speaking to you, and God is speaking to me through the Proverbs. You can hear it as Solomon's teaching his son, but you can read it as it's really meant to be. God is teaching you. Listen, my son. And you say, but I'm not a son, I'm not a male, I'm a daughter. The idea here being a dearly loved one. Listen, my dearly loved one, listen to me. Listen to God's gentle and yet straightforward counsel here in Proverbs chapter 2. And this is what I'll read for us right now. Listen carefully and pay attention to the ifs and the thens, the if clauses and the then clauses in Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. This is the word of the Lord. It's his counsel to you and his counsel to me. So let's look at this psalm. We'll spend most of our time just on the first 9 verses. But you first learn where to find wisdom. Where do you find wisdom? He starts out, he says, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. So words, the Father's words, Solomon in this case, he's saying, if you listen to my words, this is the word of God. The Spirit of God is working through Solomon. So it's the word of God. If you listen to my words, if you hear them, if you accept my words, if you store up my commands within you, in other words, hide the word of God in your heart. Where do you find wisdom? Where do you find understanding? But in the word of God. There is no other wisdom. It isn't earthly wisdom. It's heavenly, divine wisdom. This is the only wisdom. It's the true wisdom found in the word of God. The fountainhead of truth and understanding. Truth, the fountainhead of truth, wisdom and understanding. So how do you find or gain God's wisdom? From his word. You just don't lay it on top of your head. The words just don't flow into your brain. You just don't read it once and go your way and think you've got it. You can read a novel or something like that and you pretty much remember the gist of it for the rest of your life. Have you ever tried to reread a novel? It's hard to get started, isn't it? Been there, done that. But when it comes to the word of God, it is a divine book. By the Holy Spirit gives it to us that we can know the heart of God. We learn, we gain this wisdom as we read the word of God. The writer puts it this way in verse 2. He says, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Very simply, you hear it, you listen to it, and you do it. You do what you hear. Do what it says. So hear and listen to the word of God. And you don't have to be always hearing a preacher preach. You can read the Bible for yourself, but listen to what God is saying to you as you read it. It's God speaking to you. Every time you open the Bible and you begin reading, God is speaking. And then do what He says to do. James said it like this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. You can't sit around saying, aren't we good people? We heard the word of God. I read my Bible today. Don't deceive yourselves with that. James goes on to say, do what it says. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 also go on to tell us more. I want to read this to you. It's so good. 22 through 25. He goes on, we've read 22. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. This is so important for us, to do what you read. And the best part about it is there's always something that you can think, I can apply that to my life today. I can put this into practice. I can do this. And remember, biblical wisdom is knowledge plus experience. So sometimes you ever tried to say, I'm going to start doing what's right. I'm going to start being kind. Let's say you're at home, you've got brothers and sisters. I'm going to start being kind to my brother or my sister. And at first, you kind of stumble over kindness because it's really hard to do, right? You know, you're not used to being kind and loving and compassionate. But over time, as you begin to say, God, I want to do what's right. I want to be kind and compassionate to my brother, to my sister, to my family. Over time, you begin learning, what is this kindness? What is a biblical understanding? What is the wisdom behind kindness? But you have to try to do it. You need to put it into practice. God says to do it, let me do it. So that's what he says in verse 2. He counsels his son. God counsels his children, hear, in other words, listen and do. Do what I tell you to do. How many of you, when you're raising children, you ask your children to do something, what mattered to you more, the fact that they attempted to do it, or that they... maybe what bothered you more, the fact that they wouldn't do what you said to do, or the fact that they tried and maybe didn't do a very good job? You don't mind the bad job as long as they make it good, as long as they try to do what you say. Do what you say. Not do what they think they ought to do, but do what you say. So that's what he tells his son here. This is what God tells us to do. Do what I say. Verse 3 tells us how you find or gain this wisdom. You hear and listen, first of all, in verse 2, but secondly, pray. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. It's almost, in a sense, when it comes to our fallen human nature, beneath us to have to beg God for anything. How many times you talk to somebody, maybe you yourself have said, God ought to know. If God is who He says He is, why do I even have to ask? Because right here, Father counsels us, call out, cry out. In other words, come to me. You don't have this thing figured out. You think you do. You think by the time you've done this a few times, you say, well, this isn't my first rodeo, but it doesn't mean that you've got it figured out. There's so much more. God's wisdom is infinitely greater than our wisdom. And if we're going to be displaying the wisdom of God, as Ephesians tells us, the church displays the wisdom of God. If we're going to be displaying the wisdom of God, we need to be crying out, God, help us to maximize our strength, our abilities that you've given us, the grace that you've given us, that people can see the wisdom of God through us. But pray, cry out. And expect God to answer. God gives good gifts. He gives perfect gifts in accordance with the riches of His grace. But you have to call out, believing and knowing, expecting that He will answer your prayer. James chapter 1:17 tells us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. God gives good gifts. You know, you can know if you're, you can discern if you're actually growing in wisdom as well as you're asking, believing that God is going to answer. He will give me wisdom. He is going to answer this prayer as I cry out for understanding and wisdom. You can know, how do you know? What do you gauge it by? Is it a feeling? Or is it an actual change of life, the way that you live your life? James chapter 3, verse 17 says, but the wisdom that comes down from heaven, so you know if it's godly wisdom and understanding you're gaining, the wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure. Then it's peace-loving. So it's pure, it's peace-loving. In other words, it doesn't, as he's going to write in the proverb here at the end of chapter 2, it doesn't go seeking after the things that God says are perverse. You're growing in wisdom when you can learn to say no. You're growing in wisdom. You're growing in grace when you learn to say no to sin. That's first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Become a whole person. You're not a whole person. And at least the person that God intends for you to be as he brought you to faith in Jesus Christ. You're not a whole person until you begin growing in wisdom. Growing up in the Lord. In other words, this wisdom is Christ-like. You begin looking more like Jesus Christ as he's described in the Bible. As he's revealed himself to us. Jesus is the absolute revelation of the wisdom of God. And so when you ask for wisdom, cry out for understanding, you're crying out for him. Let me be more like you. I want to know you more, and I'll look like you and sound like you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says this, it's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's because of God that we're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Christ is everything. When we seek after the wisdom of God, we seek after understanding. You're seeking after Christ. And I think that personifies this search. It's more than just looking for a thing. We're looking for the fullness of a person. Cry out for understanding. Who wouldn't want to know Jesus more? If he saved you, and you know he has saved you, and you think about, you know, when you hear the song, what a wretch I was, saved a wretch like me, and you think, he saved me, and not only does he save me, but he actually loves me. He wants me to know him and walk in him. He wants me to discover more of who he is. This is the quest, to seek after Christ more and more and more. Your prayers and your earnest prayers for wisdom and understanding is really a pleading for the heart of God. Do you want to know the heart of God today? Crying out for prayers, not a religious, in prayer is not a religious exercise. It is pleading for the heart of God. Every human being was created for God. And this counsel that God gives us in chapter 2 is counsel of how do you know the heart of God? How do you come to know the heart of God? The heart of God is set before us in the person of Jesus Christ. He is our Savior and our Lord. When you pray like the proverb, right, like God is counseling us, when you pray like this, you cry out, call out for insight, cry out for understanding, you're pleading for the best thing. What are the things that you ask for today? What are the things that you think are the best things for you? Just click off in your mind, these are the things that concern me the most. And then I ask you, is it the best thing? When you're pleading, as you're being counseled here in Proverbs chapter 2, you'll be pleading the best thing. You'll be crying out, give me Jesus. That's the best thing, to know Jesus Christ better. Nothing else matters. When we go through these Proverbs over the next few months, you're going to get that message driven in over and over and over. It's not in silver and gold. It's not in houses and it's not in accumulating more stuff. It is in knowing the heart of God. And God's heart is most expressed, is the best expressed, is expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. He's not one of many options. He is our, he is the only option. He's what God has set before us. You're pleading the best thing. So how do you gain this? Look at verse 4, and if you look for it, because the if is like if, this is how, if you'll do this, this is a how you come to wisdom and understanding. If you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, sounds to me like a lot of hard work. I mean, most, I like to think about striking a vein of gold in my backyard when I'm digging a hole sometime. But that just doesn't work that way. I might have to look in your backyard, too. Go digging several holes. I'll be over this afternoon. We'll dig some holes. But the idea in this verse 4 requires determination. If you look for it as you're looking for silver, if you look for it as you're searching for hidden treasure, see, it takes determination, it takes diligence, and it takes focus. You got to remember what you're doing. You got to remember what you're searching for. Sometimes we'll lose sight of that, but this requires a focused mind. You have to believe that wisdom and understanding will be yours, that you are going to find it if you search for it. Just as God has prescribed through His Word, through prayer, through diligent study of His Word and asking, listening to the Word of God and doing what it says, these type of things. If you look for it intently in God's revelation, you got to look in the right place. You won't find silver in the air. You got to go to the ground. You won't find truth anywhere else except in the Word of God. God has given us what we need to know right there into God's revelation, the Word of God, and pursue God's heart, and is in the person of Jesus Christ, then you'll find it. And Jesus said it's God's will that you would have your prayers answered, that you would find this treasure. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." Jesus wanted His disciples to know that when they asked of Him for the heart of God, for wisdom and understanding, they would receive it. And He says, search for it as for silver. He's not saying search for it like you're looking for a piece of junk in somebody's yard sale. You'll find this treasure when you search for it. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Actually, I want to read all those verses there. It just puts it into context. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 9. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Jesus is trying to help us understand how God answers prayer. If you seek Him, search for this wisdom, this treasure, you will find it. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. And the question might be, well, how do I do unto others? Well, again, it's a matter of wisdom and understanding. But notice verse 11, if you then know, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? You've got to look in the right place and ask in the right place. Looking and searching for treasure, this wisdom requires study of the Word. It requires listening to the Word and doing what the Word of God says. You don't have to have a PhD in theology or a doctorate degree in theology to do what God says to do. It's for every man and every woman. It's for His redeemed who've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. This treasure's for you. And it's right here in the Word of God. And it takes time, study, and prayer. And it is hard work. Studying the Word of God to glean the treasures of it is hard work. A lot of people open their Bible and read it. Now, I don't get nothing out of it. I don't get a thing out of it. And they put it aside and they go watch TV. But if you'll set aside time to work hard at studying the Word of God. That means like beating your head against a mountain sometimes to glean the Word of truth and praying, God, help me to understand something. You will glean something from the Word of God each time you go. Even if you think there wasn't much to that, how many times did your parents tell you something when you're a little kid? They pass on some wisdom to you and you're like, oh, that's nice. But 30 years later, it's like, I know now what they were saying. This is how wisdom is gleaned and gained over time. It takes time. Most of us, we live in this fast-paced world that wouldn't it be nice to have something that's not readily just given to you? It's easy. Consumerism's based on the whole thing. You'll get tired of what you just bought and you'll need something else. Playing on greed and laziness of people, but when it comes to the Word of God, you read it, you study it, you listen, and you do. It takes time and hard work, but somewhere down the road you go, I thank you, Lord. That is profound. You ever marveled at somebody that can connect dots in Scripture? How do they do that? Well, you can know one thing. They worked real hard, and God answered their prayers. That is what you will need to grow, is understanding it's hard work at the same time. But in the end, guess what the treasure is? It's just not a degree that says I'm smart or I'm wise, but it is you knowing Jesus Christ more fully and the fullness of God in Him. There's another promise in Scripture regarding wisdom, and it is James, again, James chapter 1. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. Even if you said, God, I have squandered years. I haven't studied the Word like I should have. Now I can't comprehend like I used to. I'm getting too old. But I need wisdom. He gives wisdom without finding fault. You'll never have God shaking His finger at you going, you should have done it a long time ago. Shame on you, Jimmy, personally. He's going to say, I'm glad you asked. Because I want you nothing, for as a child of God, there's nothing I want more for you than to know my heart. And that is known through knowing Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 5 gives us a promise. He says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then you'll find Christ. Isn't that good news? Now, verses 6 through 9 is to strengthen us in our faith by giving us encouragement that only God can give. For the Lord gives wisdom, verse 6, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. God is most wise. The source of wisdom is Him. He's pleased to give it. Be encouraged. He speaks right now through His Word. Right here in Proverbs, He speaks to us in all the wisdom literature of Scripture. Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. He speaks to us through Moses, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And He speaks to us through the prophets in the Old Testament. He's warning and teaching and drawing and encouraging. He speaks to us in the Gospels. He speaks to us in the Acts. He speaks to us in the Epistles. He speaks to us in the Revelation. We have the Word of God, that we would know Him better. God is most wise. Turn your heart toward Him. Incline your ear toward understanding. Listen to what His words tell you. And know this, He loves us enough to tell us something. There's a hidden message in verses 7 and 8. It was hidden to me anyway, kind of veiled until I looked at two words, victory and shield. Verse 7, He holds victory in store for those who are upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. There will be trouble. You will encounter opposition in your search for wisdom. If you desire the heart of God, searching the heart of God, you will have trouble. Jesus told his disciples, he wasn't just speaking to the whole world, but he told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Link that to his victory. And think, he is victorious. I'm with him. There is a victory. Think of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul warns the church about the spiritual warfare we're going to be involved in. If, I guarantee if you're just sitting on a stump all day long and you literally could put your brain in neutral, you probably won't be under much attack. But if you pursue the heart of God, desiring wisdom, seeing it as a treasure it is, you will encounter trouble. But here it says in verse 7, he holds victory in store for the upright. He holds victory is yours. It's imminent. Victory is ours. It's imminent. He's a shield to those whose walk is blameless. In other words, growing in wisdom and that you encounter trouble, you have to know this. It says that he is a shield for you. God will keep you. You will never be destroyed. He's talking to those who are growing in wisdom and knowledge and seeking after the heart of God and finding their rest in the knowledge of God in the person of Jesus Christ. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. You have to grow in wisdom. The whole book of Proverbs is about is the contrast between is you have the simple person who's either going to become following the way of folly and fools, or this simple person who grows in wisdom and becomes wise. The fool, in every case, there is no guarantee of protection to the person that ignores the wisdom of God. No guarantee of protection for the person that ignores the heart of God and sees it as a small thing. There's no protection for the person that ignores the heart of God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. But he says here, those who treasure the wisdom of God and his understanding, who treasure his heart and want it more than anything, who treasure Jesus Christ, will be protected. You may die for your faith, but you die in the Lord. You may suffer words at the mouths of other people taunting and the like, but you are kept and protected in Christ Jesus. Christ is everything. And verses that go on, verses 13 through 19, is this contrast. And look what he says. If you have these things, discretion will protect you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men and so forth. And he goes on some examples. But this chapter teaches how we can know God better, ultimately. Wisdom is a matter of knowing God better. And I hope that today your heart is stirred to believe that the greatest treasure in your life is not your career or your job or your car or your house or your looks or anything about you. It's about God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Hunger for him. And if you don't, ask him. Give me that hunger. And I think that's a prayer that all of us ought to pray as we close. Give me a hunger. Let's pray. Father in heaven, that's our prayer. Give us a hunger. Give us a desire. Give us a vision to see that you are the greatest treasure, to know your heart. And you've revealed your heart in the person of Jesus Christ. May we pray that prayer and seek after you both the young, from the youngest to the oldest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.